That's not happening right now. We're going next to our next program at 6 o'clock. Thanks for listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're just born to lose, bound to lose. No good to nobody. No good for nothing. Because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that.
Folk music is one of the first social media communicating news of social import. It still does so today. Join me, Don Jacobson, on Friday, October 25th, 12 noon to 1:30, for Sing Me a Song of Social Significance. From Woody Guthrie to Cy Conn, you'll hear songs that are meaningful to your lives, songs that are inspiring, and songs that are just fun to listen to. Cy Conn and David Rovick's CDs will be available as thank you gifts for your pledge. 12 noon to 1:30, Friday, October 25th, only on KBOO.
The time is 6:01, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Up next is Labor Radio. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde Vocational Rehabilitation Program, providing assistance to eligible tribal members with disabilities on regaining, retaining, and securing employment particular to their strengths, capabilities, and experience. Information can be found online at grandron.org, or you can call 1-800-242-8196.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Oregon Council 75, representing over 25,000 Oregon public and private sector employees, families, and communities, protecting worker rights and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members since 1942. More information at www.OregonAFSCME.com.
Now, time for the bullet. Let's the bullet. Let's the bullet. Let's liberate radio. Time. The working the clashes. Educate. Organize. Activate. Yeah. The time is now. Look up to the past. To the 30s. Yeah. The sit down. The strike. It's time to make things right. We've been taking it for far too long. The labor movement getting real strong. We the we got labor radio with your host, the Megan and Mayor.
Hello, this is Megan and Mayor on Labor Radio, and we're excited for tonight's one-hour special about fighting for the schools Portland students deserve. A closer look at the solidarity campaign that's building around the Portland public school teachers currently in mediation with the school district.
For tonight's show, we interviewed students, teachers, and parents to find out what's happening and what's at stake in this year's contract negotiations. All websites and event information will be posted on our Labor Radio page, along with this episode, at kboo.fm. Coming up this week, there are three education-related events, a forum at Jefferson High School on Wednesday, October 16th, a community action on October 17th outside the Oregon Business Association's award ceremony, and a large rally of the Portland Association of Teachers and their allies before the school board meeting on Monday, October 21st at the district office.
First, I interviewed Alexia Garcia to get a student's perspective on what's happening.
My name is Alexia Garcia. I just graduated from Lincoln High School, and I've been involved with various student union student organizations in Portland that pertain to public education, specifically with the teachers union. we started getting involved last year when both of the student unions co-led an opt-out campaign, opting out of our standardized tests, and that was something that teachers are pretty supportive of, and that definitely started connecting me more with that group. And I was a student representative on the PPS school board, so I was definitely involved in, or I guess I just saw the process of, like, PPS's contract proposal coming together, and it just was kind of concerning. Just some of the things that PPS has put in their contract could have such negative effects on our teachers that in turn it can, like, really negatively affect students. And then the teachers in turn put out this proposal that they titled "The Schools Portland Students Deserve." The proposal definitely had things that students would support and would actually benefit students. And there's this whole idea that teaching conditions are students' learning conditions. From a student's perspective, I think that's entirely true.
Another point to make is, how much time do teachers really spend, and is that valuable to students? As well as maybe if you wanted to talk about testing and some of the other changes you've seen in education.
Do you mean time teachers spend planning classes and that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So a couple years ago when I was in eighth grade, the teachers union, as kind of a protest, only worked the hours that they're actually paid for. And for like a week they did this. And it was incredible, like going to school and seeing classes that were just like not planned out well at all, and seeing like you just wouldn't get your assignments graded and turned back in. So I think there's definitely this misconception that like teachers' jobs end at the end of the workday, because after like they're done with school, they go home and grade everything and plan for the next day. And it's like night and day when they don't have that time. As for testing, well, there's a couple other things they put in their contract that would in turn benefit students. So that is things like class size and then taking on testing, planning time, that sort of thing. So with testing, currently test scores are starting to be used as a form of evaluation of teachers. And as students, we've really taken on this as an issue, seeing that test scores are more of a reflection of students' zip codes and their economic status, their racial status, and not their teachers' ability to teach. So teachers having taken that on, I think, can benefit students, because if evaluation based on test scores becomes very important, then it's going to be less about educating students and more about educating them to take tests, which, again, isn't going to benefit us.
What are some of the organizations students can get involved with?
So there's quite a few groups in Portland right now. There's the Superintendent Student Advisory Council, which is run by the Portland Public Schools School District, and they meet with the superintendent. And then they also meet with the PPS Student Association, which used to be called the PPS Student Union. And then there's the Portland Student Union. The Portland Student Union was created by students during budget cut times like 2 years ago, and they helped lead the student strike, which is when like 200 kids skip school and we all march around Portland. And then in turn, we tried to install student unions at every high school that then would meet with pretty frequent like Portland Student Union meetings and then share ideas, collaborate, bring it back to high schools. We definitely are trying to get branches at every high school and like keep organizing in a pretty grassroots way. So those are all groups that students can get involved with. The Cleveland Student Union, which is a branch of the Portland Student Union, has really taken on the contract negotiations as an issue they want to work on. So we kind of have our own committee that's focused on that, and students would definitely be able to join. I guess the best way to contact us would be like via Facebook or contacting me, contacting just the Portland Student Union page. The PPS Student Association is currently run by Andrew Davidson, who's the student representative on the school board currently. You could definitely just email him or any of the school board members, and they'd put you into contact with him.
What would you say is one of the most valuable lessons or experiences you had while organizing around this, around education?
So I started out working with the PPS Student Union and the Superintendent Student Advisory Council, and then was elected to be the student representative on the school board. So I was pretty much under the wing of like Portland Public Schools in the district, and we had like a district adult advisor who was at all of our meetings, and everything I was hearing was very district opinion, and definitely didn't hear much of the other side, and was always told like the teachers union doesn't like support students and they're a bad group that just wants money. And I think the greatest lesson I learned was really to like question that and like try to hear multiple perspectives. The district isn't always right on everything.
That was Alexia Garcia, a recent Portland Public Schools graduate, on our one-hour Labor Radio special about the local showdown in education.
Labor Radio is a program of, by, and for working people, so it's not bankrolled by the 1%. It's paid for by the 99%, which means you, dear listener. Right now, you can help us keep it on the air and keep KBOO on the air, the community radio station that gives us a voice where otherwise we would have none. Call us now, 877-500-5266. Go online, www.kboo.fm, or walk on down to 20th Southeast 8th. Chip in today. 1 hour of programming costs about $84. So if you want to sponsor an hour, adopt an hour, here's your chance. Make it this hour. Make it tonight's Labor Radio. I'm here. My name's John with Ren, talking about what we can do to keep KBOO on the air.
When we talk about KBOO's grassroots efforts in the community, this is a perfect example. Tonight's Labor Radio broadcast. We've got a student in here. She worked with an organization, gives the students a voice here in Portland, and we are here to give those students their voice out on the airwaves. We need our local non-commercial community radio station, and if you'd like to support it, you can call in 877-500-5266. You can also go to our website at kboo.fm, and if you're feeling really social right now, you can swing on by this beautiful holiday, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and we are here to collect your pledges. And
right now, since we're talking about students, hopefully we have people listening who have not been longtime listeners to KBOO. I'd like to make an offer to anyone who is a first-time donor. If you donate $60, I will donate $60 and match you. So I'm trying to get people to get involved. If you want to come down and get involved even more, volunteer. Do what we're doing, get involved in programming, get involved behind the scenes with the engineering, with the volunteer work that keeps the station running. But if you're willing to step up and make that first donation, there's a match waiting for you to make it double the effect in terms of keeping KBOO going strong and keeping on with the good work. Our number again is 877-500-5266. The website is www.kboo.fm, and the address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Ren.
That is an incredible, that's an incredible deal for KBOO. John volunteers his time, and he's throwing in money. He's kicking in some of his own cash, even though he dedicates a portion of his life to bringing you this program. And because people like John bring you this program, please help John match his gift. That's 877-500-5266. Your $60 donation is going to become a $120 donation to KBOO. And we've got a bunch of really great swag for you to choose from at the $60 donation. A number of books are available. Just call in 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
Now back to Labor Radio.
We spoke with Suzanne Cohen, a middle school teacher in Portland Public Schools.
Let's talk about some of those issues that teachers really want to talk about, that the district's not wanting to talk about.
There's a lot that is really important to us because we know it's important to kids, like class size. And these are all, that's considered a permissive subject of bargaining. And so we can't actually discuss it. And, you know, I think that's something that's really very real in terms of workload for teachers, because larger classes mean more work. But it's not, I mean, when you hear that, it sounds like, oh, well, what's the problem with working harder? But I mean, ultimately, when you look at a teacher's job, you know, they've given up a lot because they're passionate and they want a certain level of fulfillment. And at a certain point, it's not even about workload. It's just about your class is so full that it doesn't matter how hard you work. There's just only so many minutes that you can give to each student in that classroom. You know that it's not the best education for that child. It's this common goal that teachers share with the district and parents. We want to see great growth and great gains in every child to receive this wonderful education. But I think there's enough data and statistics out there that that's not going to happen in these large class sizes. I think right now, and I mean, just, you know, from talking to my friends, they're at a point where the workload is just really unbearable and unmanageable. The lack of prep time and the increase in students and preps and periods, I mean, depending on what level you teach, is really overwhelming. At the same time, our district is paying out all this money for new programs and new incentives and trying new things when it's really maybe the simplest solutions that we are looking for. My friend Erica has 33 students in her class, and this is at a Title I school. A lot of the students are not native English speakers. And, I mean, that's just a class that should be cut in half, you know, or maybe even in thirds, and have multiple teachers if we really want to see great growth and great gains. And instead, we're you know, busy implementing a new grading system or a new like, let's hire this person to come visit our school once a week and tell us what we need to do. But it's really not for lack of innovation at this point, not to keep harping on workload and class size, but I think that really makes a difference. Last year, I got to teach a class with 5 students, and they were all very behind, struggling academic students for various reasons, whether they were English language learners or special education students. So then by this, you know, great opportunity, I got to work just with 5 students, and I didn't switch the curriculum. I didn't need more training about how to be a better teacher. I didn't do anything different that I didn't know how already to do. But what I had was this small class size with actually push-in support from an ELL teacher. And, you know, these kids, 3 of them passed, 2 made great growth goals. They are more self-confident now. They like math. And it's just this amazing thing that happened. And everyone's, what did you do? And it's nothing different than what I've been trained and know to do. The difference was I had 5 students and I had help. I feel like that's the key piece that we keep missing when we contract out or we look to pay all these money to outside people like Bill and Melinda Gates. Tell us what to do. Or maybe if we got, you know, a new computer software system and put the kid in front of there, they'd really learn. Well, we know what helps, and it's just a good teacher with a manageable class size and proper support for our struggling students.
Wow, that's a really inspiring story. I mean, given that so many teachers know what works, what do you think? Do you think there's anything behind some of these education reforms, behind the drive to innovate? And if so, what is it? Why are they doing this?
I am not sure. But in general, I think that almost everything boils down to money. And so, you know, we see education maybe as this expensive system because it's really labor heavy. So, you know, people want to make money and they see all this money being spent. And I think, you know, the desire is like, well, how can we capture more of that money instead of spending it on labor? So, I mean, we've seen this in lots of other business models where it's like, well, if we can automate something or we can put more kids with less teachers or more kids in front of computers, then we can get all the profit, right? And so we see this from everything from, I think, our curriculum and our textbooks to our standards. And we see a few individuals really trying to seek to maximize their profit. And I don't think that's evil or malicious per se. I mean, it's very logical to want to maximize your profits and make money. At the same time, I think they're guising it under efficiency or outcomes. And I don't think that's really the honest thing. We look at even the new Common Core standards, and regardless of how you actually feel about the standards, that's just one thing. But the extent that that triggers when we have to all buy new books and all our new training is on new standards instead of best practices, you just see all this money going kind of, in my opinion, in the wrong direction, where you really just want to see the money closest to the kids and in the classroom.
Our listeners are really interested in workers fighting back and solidarity. So maybe you can tell me about what Blue Mondays are and how we might be able to participate.
Blue Mondays is just an opportunity for educators and supporters of public education to show their support for the schools Portland students deserve, which is really what our association and what teachers really want to see happen. Is we want kids to have electives, and we want teachers to have manageable prep time that actually allows us to do all the things that parents want, like keep in contact with them and to give honest, great assessment for kids. And so by wearing blue on Monday, it's a sign of solidarity amongst us and amongst our community that we are all fighting for the schools that Portland students deserve. I think really urging school board members and Carol Smith to not call impasse and reading the contract proposal that the district still refuses to talk about, the schools that Portland students deserve, and advocating for that proposal. That's the one that we really think is best for students, that the district is refusing to negotiate with us on that. So many of my friends are teachers, and I think we just need to really realize that they are being very honest when they are saying that it's becoming harder and harder to do their job. And when the kids are denied all these extracurricular sports and arts and all the things that really matter for child development and satisfaction. And then teachers are getting blamed for things like the graduation rates. Matt Morton, I don't know if you've seen his clip, but he basically blames teachers for low Portland graduation rates and says that this contract is about getting aggressive with teachers because we're the problem. And there's just such a bigger systematic issues at play here, and to really like blame teachers and say it's time to get aggressive with them because we're the problem is, it's offensive and inaccurate, really. And I think anyone would be welcome to come inside a classroom and just really see what's going on there. And it's very obvious that it's not a need to get aggressive with teachers at all.
Thank you so much, Labor Radio. This is an incredible show about what's going on here in Portland right now. Right now, I got to thank Barbara from Vancouver for her donation. Megan, she upped her contribution. Kudos to you. John Renewed from Southeast PDX. And we are still waiting for a matching donation for John's generous $60 match. So if you can match, call in now. We're waiting. Talking about education, this is relevant to all of us. Local education, some of you out there, your parents, your kids are going to be directly affected by what's happening today in Portland Public Schools around these teachers' contracts. So we are bringing you relevant and important news. And even if you don't have a kid in school in Portland, education affects us all. And this is one of the things that KBOO is really, really good at, is bringing you hard-hitting investigative reports on what is happening that directly affects our lives right here in Portland, that the people who bring us Labor Radio are your neighbors, they're your friends, they shop in the same grocery store as you, and they vote with the same ballots, and they're bringing you the same issues that concern them on a regular basis. So if you can support us, support our grassroots efforts, 877-500-5266 and kboo.fm, or bring your smiling face on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and we'll be happy to fill out your form and work with you, take your pledge, say hello. Thank you very much.
You know, Ren, tonight Labor Radio is talking about Portland Public Schools, the contract situation there. A week ago, the show was about Colombia and Afro-Colombian workers in the ports in Colombia. We have listeners locally. We have listeners internationally, thanks to the website. That's a power that is rare in this day of corporate dominance of so much. It depends on having a voice. It depends on having community radio to make it possible. You can help keep that going by donating at 877-500-5266 or www.kboo.fm. Once again, an hour of programming costs about $84. That's a figure within reach. You can sponsor. You can adopt this hour. You can make this your hour of programming on the air, your voice on the airwaves, your chance to speak truth to power. Also like to point out that roughly 10% is the estimate of the people who listen, step up, and donate. If you want to be part of the solution and not one of the passive people who don't get involved and make things change, make that figure grow. Make it bigger than 10%. Be part of it. Make it larger. Please join up today if you haven't before. Chip in what you can afford. Doesn't have to be a huge amount of money because it adds up. KBOO depends on small contributions, making a large whole, making this thing work for everybody. Once again, the number is 877-500-5266. Website's www.kboo.fm, and we're located at 20 Southeast 8th. Come down and see the craziness going on here, Ren.
John made an excellent point about the small donations. We need those smaller donations to keep us going. You might think that someone's going to call in. They're going to give $1,000. You know what? We need that $1,000, but we need your $60 donation just as much. Your $120 is going to make a huge difference. And as John said in the last pitch break, he has offered a challenge to any new member. Any new member who calls in with a $60 pledge, he's going to match it. So your $60 is going to double. It's going to turn into $120. That's more data points, more money, more of what we need, more contributing to that 10%. In fact, I'd like to see it get up to 11%. Let's just go for the palindrome, shall we? 877-500-5266, kboo.fm, or we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. John?
We'd also like to thank the restaurants that have provided food to keep our volunteers well-fueled and functional tonight. That's Bread and Ink Cafe at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, Brecken Kitchen, 1800 Northwest 16th Avenue, and Al Forno Ferruzza Pizzeria, hope I said that right, 2738 Northeast Alberta Street. Right now, we're trying to make sure we're on the air and powerful and strong for the weeks and months ahead, because this is not getting any easier. If you're out there trying to earn a living, you know things are not getting easier. They're getting tougher. We need more voices on our side. We have difficult contract fights we're facing for many unions, particularly in the city of Portland. We have people who don't have a union. We have fast food workers who definitely need to struggle to make a living themselves, and we're hearing more about that, I think, tomorrow is my expectation. For all those groups to have a voice on the airwaves, we need shows like Labor Radio. So please step up, give what you can, 877-500-5266, www.kboo.fm, 20 Southeast 8th is the street address if you'd like to do it in person and see our smiling faces.
John, thank you so much for your contribution to KBOO's airwaves, bringing all these issues to our attention. We live in tough times. It's a tough world right now, but you can count on us. We are here every day, 24/7, bringing you the news and views and perspectives that matter to you, whether it's happening in Columbia or here in Portland. We are at 877-500-5266, kboo.fm. And we're still waiting. We're still waiting for that new donor who's going to step up and match John's donation. Where are you? We're waiting for you. Go get your phone. Just put in the numbers, 877-500-5266.
And John, those of you who have been donors before, you're certainly welcome to come back, too. We're not limiting this to new ones. We welcome everybody to do what they can to keep KBOO going strong. One more time, 877-500-5266 and www.kboo.fm. Now back to Labor Radio.
In addition to students and teachers, parents and community members have stepped up to support Portland Public School educators. We spoke with Betsy Salter about how she got involved supporting her local teachers.
My name is Betsy Salter, and I'm the parent of an eighth grader in Portland Public Schools.
And you've been working for some time now helping the teachers organize. Can you kind of describe what you've been doing?
I've been concerned about the teacher contract negotiations when the school board first criticized our teachers for not wanting to sign on to a Race to the Top grant back in November 2012. So as soon as the teachers started organizing and preparing for the bargaining session and letting folks know that the district was really pushing them hard to meet more frequently than they could, you know, that a large team of teachers, and during the summertime they have trainings and other jobs that they do to make ends meet. And so they were letting folks know that the district was being unreasonable in terms of pushing for frequent meetings. So I just attended meetings that had been called in the summertime for folks who support teachers to learn more about the bargaining process and what might need to happen if the district really keeps pushing and not really bargaining in good faith. What we're just trying to do is, because the district is able to send out emails to all the parents in their email list, and then they get their letters published in the Oregonian, most folks aren't able to hear the teacher's side of things, and so they're getting a very slanted view. And so as a community organizer, I'm trying to get more people to learn. It's going to take time and effort on their part to learn about what's really going on from the teacher's perspective. And hopefully if the district does push our teachers to go to strike because they won't negotiate a fair contract, that we'll have wide and strong community support to support our teachers if they have to go on strike.
Can you explain a little bit your feelings just as a parent looking at this, and why the teachers would be so important to you, and maybe a little bit about why other parents should get involved?
I've been also watching education reforms as they roll out across the country, and part of the package, it seems, is really trying to take away bargaining rights for teachers. And I have friends out there that are teachers. You know, I don't want our teachers to go on strike. I don't want my child or any of our children to lose out on instructional days. We have such a short school year as it is. And I really believe that what the teachers are trying to bargain for in terms of their working conditions directly translate into good learning conditions. And so I'm concerned that the way, you know, the district just took out 30 pages of a contract that they've had for years and years and is just saying they are refusing to negotiate working conditions that are very basic to providing a good learning environment for our children, things involving class size and student load. We want our teachers to be able to develop relationships so that they can individualize instruction to our individual children. They can't have huge class sizes or at the middle school and high school level, huge student loads. And so, you know, I'm just concerned about why the district would not want to put in safeguard or adequately compensate our teachers. If the district can't afford to hire more teachers and so the result is going to be huge caseloads, I mean, it's just not good. It seems to me that the district should really put a priority on finding the money to keep our class sizes and student loads to a manageable level so that our teachers can teach well and our children can be successful in school.
For someone maybe just starting to get involved, just wanting to know what's the first meeting I can come to, what kinds of things can community members who are listening do to help the teachers, and what can we expect over the coming months, do you think? Longer term, like, are there committees, or is there a website?
We're still in the process of forming our committees, community group that are organizing around high school clusters. So I'm working on the Franklin High School cluster.
What could people expect if they were to get involved in these clusters? What exactly do people in the clusters do?
What we're trying to do is reach out to PTAs and to neighborhood associations and just provide them with the information so that they realize it's not the picture that the district is painting where the teachers just want a whole bunch of money, because that's not the case. The problem is the district refuses to talk about working conditions, and the only thing that they will talk about, but the only way the teachers could write a contract that would give them some leverage to talk about things like class size and student load is to frame it in terms of our class sizes get this big, then we would need to be compensated by this much, and the 11% that the district is claiming the teachers want is like a worst-case scenario, you know, if the class size has got to a certain level. We're just trying to get some teacher voice out into the community because they don't really have the same vehicles that the district does with its emails to all the parents and then the Oregonian, of course, painting their picture for them.
So if you were to speak directly to the parents who are listening to the show,
I would just encourage parents to maybe find out who is their teacher union building rep and ask their PTA to have a teacher representing the union come and talk about how the contract negotiations are going from their perspective. And I would want parents to really understand that our teachers, they don't want to strike, and it's not about money. They really are wanting to have some control over their working conditions so that they can be the best teachers they can be and our children can have a successful learning school experience. And so it's really going to take parents supporting teachers for the district to stop the bullying that they're doing in order to, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. It's really disappointing and frustrating.
That was Betsy, a local Franklin area parent, relating to the contentious talks between teachers and the school district.
Thanks for tuning in to our one-hour special on the local teachers' struggle for a fair contract. Up next, we spoke to Emily Crum, a veteran of the Reynolds strike 2 years ago and supporter of Jefferson area teachers.
My name is Emily Crum. I am a first, second grade teacher in Reynolds School District. I live in North Portland. I grew up going to Portland Public Schools. I got involved with the Solidarity campaign around the PAT and their bargain because a couple years ago in Reynolds, we were on strike and there were many teachers from Portland and other areas that came out and supported us. And so it's just really important for us as educators to be out there supporting our other union brothers and sisters. Even if it's not our own contract, it definitely affects how the rest of our contract bargains go with other teachers' unions. We have different clusters because Portland's such a big district. There are different clusters, and I live in the Jefferson cluster, and I know there's Franklin cluster, Madison. They're all based around the high schools. And in those clusters, we're seeking out PTAs, PTA meetings to go to and inform and ask for support for the teacher's contract. Also, we are going to neighborhood associations, and there's going to be forums that are happening around the city that are put on by the teachers. I think that the strike is something not to be afraid of. I feel like people often are fearful of it. I think it's just a way for teachers to be able to show that in solidarity, they can make demands and present a picture of what could be, and especially if they're getting just beat down at the table and not listened to and disrespected, especially in their bargain, that they need to be heard. And if it's not happening at the bargaining table and with the district in a way that it should, then you have to use other types of ways to be heard, and the strike really helps with that. And I think it's important to know that the community, the parents are supportive of teachers and students are supportive of teachers. The community really trusts teachers, so to remember that when you move forward with everything, that the teachers are the ones that are there with the community day in, day out, and they're the ones that parents know and students know, so that's important to remember.
Can you talk about the corporate reform efforts that teachers are faced with today?
Definitely, there's been a push since Arne Duncan, and probably even before that, but we definitely have seen since Arne Duncan came along with Obama to be the Secretary of Education, they have pushed Race to the Top, which is just a competitive way to get money and usually doesn't actually go towards the classroom itself or direct services for kids. It goes to other things like teacher evaluation and tying those to standardized tests or other types of professional development that's not necessarily what teachers need. Really, a lot of what's been taken away from education, smaller class sizes, educational assistance that support classrooms, just real teaching and learning has decreased over the last few years since all of these reforms that have happened. And it comes from the corporate world. There's this push to really change schools so they're outcome-based, pretty much just looking at the kids are factory workers and their learning is based off of some sort of testing data, which I think just dehumanizes learning and really dehumanizes the process of being a child. And we're really worried about testing and all of those types of things. And it's not just the test, it's the high-stakes aspect to it, that the scary part that they're shutting down schools, especially in communities of color, that we see the resources have been shifted to another place with the testing industry, Pearson, and those are the people getting the money instead of money going to the actual classrooms. And we can see the actual impact of those dollars on students' learning. Also, it's been interesting to see administrators and managers in the school district get raises and they hire more and more IT and those types of different positions. And we see our class sizes grow and these other positions created. They aren't directly with a student in the school day. So it's just about where I think that it's important for people to realize that there's money out there for education. Yeah, it's reduced, but it's also about where the money is going and how it's being used.
You kind of touched on something about people closing schools and in neighborhoods of color. Could you talk a little bit about what's happened at Jefferson and maybe how the Jefferson cluster is going and upcoming ways for people to get involved if they live in that area?
So Jefferson cluster last year experienced the district's desire to deal with enrollment balancing, and they were going to go cluster by cluster. And there was this real frustration in those neighborhoods because they were looking at the numbers of the schools, of how many students were in the schools, and pretty much deciding based off of that or test scores, which schools they should keep open or which schools they should close. And they shifted back and forth. There was Beach was under the chopping block, Ockley Green, King, some other schools. There was talk of joining schools together. And there was just this desire by the district to kind of solve the enrollment problem with either shutting down a school or shifting schools around, which really in North Portland that actually have more students that are living in that area than actually go to those schools. So it's interesting to watch that. As I was a student from that neighborhood, I went to Beach Elementary and I went to Ockley Green. So I remember a time when people from my neighborhood were definitely leaving to go to other schools. So there's a history of that. Parents came together. Parents definitely united in North Portland, and it was cross school. So you'd see parents from Beach that were at the Woodlawn parent meeting, or Woodlawn parents coming out in support for the Ockley Green and Chief Joe's. And so you just saw this set of parents defending their own school. Parents were coming together, unified, to speak up against the idea of school closures in general, especially in that neighborhood where we've already seen Tubman has been closed. There we have Whitaker back in the day was closed, or Applegate. There's been lots of school closures within North Portland. So I think that the neighborhoods really felt the impact of that, and parents are angry about it because they don't see how these kind of school closures and shifting around of students is really going to help bring more kids to those schools in North Portland. It makes it more difficult to keep families in those neighborhood schools. So that was a real concern, and it's been amazing to see just those relationships happen, and a lot of those parents have become more aware of what's going on in the district, or really questioning how the district is run and what they're doing with their resources and how they're making decisions, and they want the parent voice to be heard, which it should definitely. And it's been amazing to see those parents unite, and I would say Jefferson Cluster is really strong because of that. There's a lot of support right now from those schools and those parents to support the Portland teachers. We've already had lots of people from those areas sign onto a petition that's gone around that supports the teachers' preamble of their bargain for the schools that Portland students deserve. And something that's really amazing to see, and I think it happened out of crisis, but out of crisis comes this kind of solidarity.
First, a big and personal thank you to Marion Beaverton, who stepped up to the challenge and made a donation. So my match has been claimed. You can keep on donating, though. 877-500-5266. Also, big thank you to Seamus in Southeast Portland for his renewal of his support for KBOO. You know, Ren, this summer I had a chance to be in Honduras. I had the privilege of having a chance to travel there for a little bit, and I saw the power that community radio has with communities in resistance. It may be true the revolution won't be televised, but I bet you it will be on radio. And just seeing how that tool kind of levels the playing field for communities that can take a small amount of resources, make them go a long way, and be able to have a voice where otherwise their voice would be drowned out by corporate media, by the dominant paradigm. KBO is our version of that, and without the popular support that we depend on from our listeners, we won't have that voice in the future.
Thank you, John. Your guest, Labor Radio's guest, was just talking about top-down corporate solutions coming into schools that don't innovate because they disrupt the basic teaching mission. KBOO, we don't have a corporation up above us raining down top-down solutions. We make our own. We make our own decisions as a group, and we can maintain our focus on our basic mission to bring you community radio wherever you are in the world. Even the listeners in Honduras, if they've got a computer, if they've got an internet connection, they can get to us at kboo.fm. And you can call in now with your donations, 877-500-5266. John was bold enough to issue a matching challenge, and instead of doubling our money, we tripled it. So, listeners, if you're out there and your fingers are kind of itching to get to that phone, be bold. Don't be afraid to issue another challenge to your fellow listeners. To another member who needs to renew, to another new member, don't be afraid to give us a call and say, you know what, I would love to match somebody else's donation. I'm here. I need a partner out in the community. And we are your community partners, 877-500-5266.
We build power collectively. Many of us put in what we can. Maybe it's an hour's wages for you. Maybe it's a week's if you can afford that. Think about what radio is worth to you compared to maybe that cup of coffee or that sandwich, whatever you might have for lunch. And if it has the value, if it delivers what you need to know or gives you an alternative to the party line that you might be fed through the mainstream media, then support it. Make that vehicle still be accessible to you in the future. 877-500-5266, www.kboo.fm. Click on the tip jar there. or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come see us in person. Tell us what interests you. Tell us why you like KBOO, what you'd like to hear more of or maybe less of. Give us your views. Get involved. Volunteer. Maybe someday you'll be doing a program if you aren't already. Maybe someday you'll be engineering or otherwise involved behind the scenes. We need your support financially and also with your time. 877-500-5266, www.kboo.fm, 20 Southeast 8th. Now back to Labor Radio.
I am in the studio with Evan Selby, a teacher out in Reynolds School District who teaches economics and government. So we've been hearing a lot about the Portland Association of Teachers and their new campaign, The Schools Portland Students Deserve. But it wasn't too long ago that the East County teachers were in struggle. Can you tell us a little bit about that background?
Yes. 2 years, 2011, 2012, where we had faced some similar issues that Portland teachers are facing with the contract, extending the instructional day, limiting prep time, those types of issues we had in common with them. And back in our situation 2 years ago in East County, which is a more conservative area, definitely an attempt to really bust the unions and to start to dismantle our power. So they had things for us. We had things like no prep time for the elementary schools was being considered, or that was a proposal by the district, using unsigned anonymous complaints against teachers and possibly in our evaluations, tying evaluations to test scores. You know, there was no pay increase on the table at all. It was 0-0-0 for 4 years for benefits and pay. And we had taken cuts the previous years. And in our case, our district had $20 million at the time that they were sitting on. And so ours was a little bit unique, but we share in the national attack that's going against teachers and unions and public unions in specifically. So with Portland, what's going on there, similar to what we went through, is a school board and a bargaining team that really it has no intent to really bargain, not in good faith. Their intent from the beginning, as was in our case, is to let the timelines go, reach to the point where there's mediation, and then say that mediation is the way that we can sit down and talk. And of course, that takes the deliberation process out of the public view, which is what Reynolds School District wanted and what Portland wants. So it's really an attempt, and the people need to understand it's really just an attempt to break the unions. There's no, you know, we had to go on strike. We went out on strike with a 94% vote because teachers in Reynolds had had enough. And it took us going out on strike to let the district know and the school board that we were serious about protecting our kids' learning conditions, because our working conditions are their learning conditions. So a lot in common between the struggle 2 years ago and what's happening right now in Portland.
So for the school district, who are the players involved, and who do you think is driving this?
Yeah, players involved, I think, when you look on the national stage, it's like the Koch brothers, it's Bill Gates, it's, you know, the hedge fund managers that are really funding these efforts in all the states. And here, specifically locally, for Reynolds, behind it, we have the Hungerford Law Firm, which has been known to, and actually has out in circulation of the Park Rose teachers when they were bargaining, got a copy of what was called the Hungerford Games, which was a play-by-play book on how to dismantle the unions through language and just how to piecemeal do that. So we have that in Reynolds. The Hungerfords have been retained again for our bargain that's coming up in the spring. For Portland, it's Mr. Logan, Brock Logan, I believe, is kind of heading up the bargaining at the district office. And he, you know, he used to be a labor negotiator in Washington for Ask Me Council number 2, and I believe for 12 years. And now he's on the other side, kind of using that knowledge and skills to, you know, turn it around and try to really bust the teachers union in Portland, as well as they've, you know, brought on the services of Yvonne Deckert, who works City of Portland, and she's paid $15,000 a month. And up to this point, she's made $210,000 as of September 30th. So parents, community members, students, we need to ask ourselves, why are these districts willing to put that kind of money when we are lacking resources in the classroom all over the state and all over the nation, yet they're spending $15,000 a month for someone who's not even at the bargaining table? She's merely just gives political and strategy advice, and that's it. So Portland should be asking, is this the way we want it to go? Do we want a Rahm Emanuel-style district that is out to just crush the teachers? Because that's what it is, and Portland's not that type of city. And Portlanders need to really take a look at that, and are they okay with these huge salaries that are being paid to basically destroy teachers who are in the classrooms with your kids? I can guarantee you, I do not make $15,000 a month. And is that really where we want to put our money, is to, you know, hurt teachers, which is going to hurt our kids? Locally, that's who's behind it. But bigger than that, it's really the coalition in this country led by the Koch brothers, the Gates Foundation, to really privatize our education system. And these attacks on teachers, that's what they're trying to change the framing of the conversation, saying it's the teacher's problem, it's the teacher's fault. But, you know, for example, in my classes this year, I have 36, 36, 38, 38, 36.
You're referring to class size?
Class sizes. That's five of my classes, yes. So I spent 6.5 hours grading yesterday. And those, you know, those types of things, I mean, it's all designed to really set us all up to fail. And yet the money is going to consultants out of the classroom, and people should be appalled by that and demand that Carol Smith come clean and fess up that what this is about is busting the unions. It's not about being collaborative, not at all. They wouldn't be in mediation right now. That's a failure on the district's part. That means there's not goodwill to bargain. And this is really, it's unacceptable.
Is there a way that community members who aren't teachers can get involved?
Absolutely. I know there's a couple events coming up here. One is happening this Thursday, which is the 17th. And that'll be at 5:30 p.m. at the Convention Center, and it's the Oregon Business Association's annual dinner. And they're handing out their Statesman's Award or honoree this year to Sue Levin, who's the director of Stand for Children, or Stand on Children, maybe it's maybe a better phrase on how to put that. And she's been very supportive of the PERS reforms and just right in line with the corporate agenda. I mean, walks lock, stock, and barrel with the Oregon Business Association. And so, you know, at this dinner, there's no public, there are no teachers, there's no parents, there's no community members. So we'll be setting up a table out front that'll be the public's table, demanding that the representatives that go in there to be wooed by the Oregon Business Association, that they actually listen to the people, because it's our schools, not their schools. And then for Portland, there's a big rally that'll be happening on the 21st, which is a Monday, and that'll take place at 5:30 p.m. at 501 North Dixon Street, right in front of the district office there, before the board meeting at 6. And attend a board meeting, too, and let the board know that we want this thing settled and not to have a strike. And that's really on the board. The teachers have been more than willing to bargain in good faith. It's the board that's not.
So we'll make sure to put those details on our website at kbu.fm/laborradio. Thanks for filling us in on all these details, Evan.
Absolutely, Megan.
A big thank you goes out to Dan. Dan, thanks for your contribution. Very much appreciate that. Right now for this show, we're at $450 in. We'd really love to get it over $500. Can you help us with that? $50 more gets us over $500 for the show. To give you an idea what that works out to, if you gave $60, that would be like $1 a week or 16 cents a day. Not too much, hopefully, for most people's budget. So help us get over that $500 mark for this show. We'd really, really like to make that happen. The number is 877-500-5266. The website's www.kboo.fm, and we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Teachers, you know, parents, students.
You know, Ren, earlier on, back in the days when Dan Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, was doing his union-busting legislative shenanigans, a friend of mine was in Wisconsin. I was able to provide me with some phone numbers for folks inside the Capitol during the people's occupation of the Capitol. We could have a live labor radio show talking to people in the Capitol at that time, but only because we have KBOO, we have labor radio, we have this already up and running, already sufficiently resourced and funded to be able to keep on telling the truth to people, not only in Portland, across the world, across the country. We depend on listeners to make that possible, and hopefully they get the value they need to make their lives more informed, more productive, and more progressive. But to make it happen, we need their support. 877-500-5266, www.kboo.fm.
John, I'm really loving this episode of Labor Radio. I care about education. I'm a parent. I raised a child. I sent him to school. I know what's going on in schools and how frustrating it can be for our teachers. Today, Labor Radio is talking about the corporate push to privatize education and the negative impact on our children's learning. We need the public airwaves. We need public education. We need public utility. We need public services. We need to keep these things public. It keeps our communities invested. And when you invest in us, you are keeping us invested in your community as well, and you are making an investment in your community as well. John mentioned skipping that cup of coffee. Maybe you're going to make it at home with the French press tomorrow so that you can donate that money to us. Skip a pedicure. Skip a manicure. do your own nails, and while you're filing, listen to KBOO. Listen to KBOO and tune in and know that the work you're doing for yourself at home is a huge gift to us. We are at 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM, and we love when donors come in to say hello directly and hand us their money and let us take their names and thank them personally. We are at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Also, when you're a member, you participate in decision-making at the station. We have votes to elect the board of directors, to get involved in committees. You can help make decisions at the station. So you're not just giving money and that's the end of it. You have a chance to participate, to get involved, be part of the community that serves the community. Please come down or give a call or go online to help make that happen. Once again, we're trying to get over $500 for the show. We'd love to bring in that extra 50, extra 60 in this last few minutes. Please give us a call at 877-500-5266. If it's easier for you to go online, that's www.kboo.fm. And again, the address is 20 Southeast 8th. If you walk in, you can use credit card, you can use check, you can pay cash. Online, that's credit card. And if you can make a phone call, we can work it out either by credit card or check. But whatever way works for you, whichever method is the most convenient, please get involved. Support KBOO.
John did a call out for a matching donation earlier. We have all kinds of gifts that we can give you. At the $60 level, you'll get a KBOO logo mug, or you can choose from a number of books, Silence Majority by Amy Goodman, Thank You Anarchy, Notes from the Occupy Apocalypse by Nathan Schneider, Capitalism Hits the Fan by Richard Wolff. At $120, there's the KBOO flash drive. That's got material from Bill McKibben, Amy Goodman, Greg Palast, Raj Patel, and more bonus content that includes KBOO specials that brings you more of what you need to know about the world. Also at the $120 level, we've got the Democracy Now! T-shirt. It's black with the Democracy Now! Logo in sizes small to extra large. And all you have to do is call in 877-500-5266. And if you're at home, you're not feeling like talking to anybody right now, you're not feeling like picking up the phone, you can still go to our website at kboo.fm or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
This is not a huge operation here. There are 6 staff at KBOO. There's something over 500 volunteers, something over 4,500 members, and 45,000, say, listeners. So there's a whole lot of people listening, not that many people producing and making this all happen. You can participate in whatever level works for you. You can come on down and volunteer. You can be a member by making a contribution. Whichever way you do it, your contribution is valuable. Your contribution is needed. So we really hope you can chip in a little bit right now to keep Labor Radio and shows like it on the air going strong in the future. 877-500-5266. www.kboo.fm, and 20 Southeast 8th Avenue is the street address. KBOO has been going strong for quite a while now. We're at over 23,652,000 commercial-free minutes of radio. We'd like to stretch that streak out a whole lot longer. Need your help to do it. This is one of the few times a year that we reach out to the community, ask for their support. And we certainly hope we can bring in the funds and keep things going strong so we can get back to full-time programming as soon as possible. Help us make that happen with your donation. 877-500-5266, www.kboo.fm, and 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Now back to the program.
Teachers, parents, students, and concerned community members can find more information at www.teachersandparentstogether.com. On Facebook, search for Portland Teachers and Parents Together. There you can find out about the events, petitions, and other ways to defend public education mentioned in tonight's program.
Thanks for tuning in to Labor Radio, bringing you the news and views of, by, and for working people every Monday night at 6. I'm Megan, my co-host was Mayor. Check out our brand new Labor Radio page on Facebook. This is Rebel Diaz, Chicago teacher.
Here we go. Come on. Look. Y'all. Yo, homie, I was taught by a Chicago teacher, Chicago teacher.
Chicago teacher. I learned to read and write from a Chicago teacher. So I'm inspired by the fight from my Chicago teachers. Homie, I was taught by a Chicago teacher. Chicago teacher, Chicago teacher. I learned to read and write from a Chicago teacher. So I'm inspired by the fight from my Chicago teachers. The teachers are tired, the students dumbfounded. The budgets get cut, so classes are overcrowded. Streets full of violence, the blue coat is silence. So I'ma keep rhyming till salaries start rising. The unions are rising, taking to the streets. The workers are united, so the mayor's got beef. Rhymes a fake pretender with a corporate agenda. Neoliberal offender, of course you offend us. This ain't about money, that's far from the truth. They want better work conditions to teach the youth. Politicians, I don't trust them, it's all in the name. The president, the mayor, all want political gain. They'd rather put the kids in jail, shackle them with chains, and provide an education.
The time is 6:59, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM Community Radio. We just heard a special program of Labor Radio, and this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting Stephen Kellogg with Fort Atlantic, Tuesday, October 22nd. Doors at 7, show at 8, and tickets and information for Stephen Kellogg on October 22nd can be found online at aladdin-theater.com. And now please stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio.
Are about to cross the border.
Tune into KBOO this coming Monday, October 14th from 8 to 10 p.m. when members of the Different Nature Collective present Different Voices. Here are some of the most unusual and challenging uses of the human voice in new music. Sound poetry in which the conventions of melody and meaning melt into a different reality. Join us for this KBOO Fall Membership Drive special. That's Different Voices on KBOO's A Different Nature, Monday, October 14th from 8 to 10 p.m.
Join us this Wednesday, October 16th from 9 a.m. to noon for a special program on the politics of austerity.
Austerity is harm. It's the equivalent of leeches for medicine. You might think you're doing some good, but all you're doing is weakening the patient.
Featuring Mark Blythe, author of Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea, Robert Kuttner, author of Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity, Sanjay Basu, author of The Body Economic, Why Austerity Kills, and Ellen Brown, author of The Public Bank Solution, From Austerity to Prosperity. That's Wednesday, October 16th from 9 a.m. to noon for our Austerity special right here on KBOO Portland.